This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Hello, leaders. Welcome to the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Hope you are enjoying your summer. It's been fun to see so many of you on Instagram getting away for some much-deserved time off. By the way, you guys can connect with me on Instagram if you'd like. Chris Brown on air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been fun watching you guys and gals kind of get away for the summer, maybe going to the lake or going to the beach or going to the mountains, but been a lot of fun. There's a time to work in your ministry, and there's a time to work on your ministry. And hopefully you're taking advantage of this particular season to work on those things that maybe you couldn't get to in the ridiculously crazy seasons. And of course, that's different for all of us. I say that, but some of you are right in the middle of your crazy season right now. But for the rest of you, I hope you are refreshing and also growing your leadership capacity as you kind of gear up for the upcoming fall season. By the way, I will say this about the summer. This has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, but hey, don't write off the summer. Imagine that. Think about that. 300,000 churches, and you've got millions and millions of people attending those churches. And what if we were just all to take the summer off or just go at it about 50% capacity or maybe scale it back to 20 or 30% of what we could do? That'd be a tragedy. There's still people that are dying and going to hell during the summer. So we got a lot of things to do, to evangelize, to disciple, to build community, to do outreach and those kind of things. So don't just write the summer off. Those of you that are young leaders, that's especially for you. But such a great time for a lot of things. Think about personal growth. Maybe it's a time for you to lose 20 pounds so that when you come back in the fall that you've got tons more energy. Maybe it's to read 4 or 5 leadership books. Maybe read the New Testament or read the Old Testament. Might not be enough time to read the whole Bible and do it well and comprehend it, but maybe you haven't done that in a while. Maybe it's team building. Maybe you take some families out to the park and enjoy the nice weather. For most of us, it's nice weather. I think it is for all of us in the summer. Maybe it's some real practical stuff like reorganizing some closets, so more efficiency in the fall. Maybe it's reevaluating traffic patterns in the lobby or in the parking lot or the check-in area. Maybe it's adding a check-in station, improving processes, improving systems. I'm a big fan of processes, but not to control you, but to kind of guide you. All those are great things, but also don't give up on growing in attendance during the summer. Some of you are like, that's crazy, right? Now, if you're an established church that has over 10 years of rhythms and everyone's kind of set in their ways and you've created a culture or prior leadership has created a culture, that summer is just a time of, we don't necessarily grow in attendance, but we grow more in our, you know, we're strengthening our stakes and our firm foundation. That might be hard to overcome. It'd be hard to rework everyone's brain. But for newer ministries, hey, don't just accept that you have to dwindle down in attendance during the summer. It drives me crazy. I'd say 75% of the summers that I've been in ministry, that attendance went up during the summer. Okay, so don't let anyone tell you that you have to decline in the summer. There are several ministries around the country that even are listening in right now that grow during the vacation months. Do something that gives everyone two things, purpose and community. They're going to find it somewhere. Every summer, everyone's looking, and all year round, people are looking for purpose. And they're looking for community. It's what the human psyche craves, purpose and community. And they're going to find it somewhere. So it's our job to provide their best option to find those two things, purpose and community. So if you're leading a campus and the mothership always says, man, we just decline in attendance during the summer, you as a campus don't have to. You can kind of create your own microculture there where you're going to grow regardless of funding, regardless of programming. You're going to grow through community. You're going to grow through something that you can control as a campus pastor. If you're leading a ministry, and let's just say you're at a campus that doesn't grow during the summer, you can be the ministry. So I don't know about you, but we grew in volunteers. We grew in attendance. We grew in every metric possible, but we killed it during the summer because people found purpose and community. So now the topic of today's podcast is, and this will feel like a left-hand turn because it is, the topic of today's podcast is honor and loyalty. Honor and loyalty in the church. What should this look like? Should it even be there at all? If so, what should it look like? Or why should it be there? What can we learn today when we're talking about honor and loyalty as a leader? What can we learn today as a, maybe you're a follower who's the one being led? So today we're talking about honor and loyalty in the church. Well, to help us talk through the ins and outs of honor and loyalty within the church, I thought, hey, why don't I call up someone who I feel like does this really well? And so I did. I called up Pastor Ontario Green. He's the young adult pastor and the internet pastor for TD Jakes at Potter's House in Dallas. Ontario ministers to thousands of young people every single week. He's a very gifted pastor. So let's listen in to my conversation with Pastor Ontario Green. Pastor Ontario, so glad that you are joining us on the Leadership Momentum podcast. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to be on.
So let's just start off with, let me know a little bit about you and your role there at Potter's House and, you know, just the responsibility that you hold and just kind of give us a glimpse into your world. What does a week look like, a year look like for Ontario Green?
Well, I'll start off first by telling you a little bit about my intersection with Potter's House and my life. I'm on staff here. I've been here for 3 years, but it didn't start 3 years ago. It actually started 17 years ago. My mother was in a prison cell. She had violated her probation. My mother was a drug addict and a prostitute for most of my childhood, all the way up until about the age of 13. She went to prison. When she went to prison, she was only allowed to come out of her cell on Sundays to go to church. So she went to church, and Bishop T.D. Jakes was actually satellited into her prison where she was. And she heard him preach, and something inside of her began to kind of break free. And when she got out of prison, she found out that he had just started a church in Dallas. She drugged me to that church. I tell people all the time, I started with a drug mom. I ended with a drug mom. My mom drugged me by my right ear to the second row from the front, second seat from the end. And after falling asleep on Bishop Jakes a few times on Sunday, she told me to go over to the youth ministry. And I didn't want to go to the youth ministry, but she said, the girls outnumber the guys 5-1. So I was like, I got to go to the youth ministry. So I went over to the youth ministry, and my life was totally transformed and changed by a message about the prodigal son. And that kind of started my journey with God. At that point, I was failing ninth grade. So at that point, when I got saved, I got real serious about my faith. I got real serious about my schoolwork and got caught up on everything that I needed to get caught up on. And really, that church really saved my life as a young teenager. I was on my way spiraling out of control, and that church came in and saved my life. So 3 years ago, when they called me to come on staff, it was like, man, this is a great opportunity to be able to give back to a place that's given so much to me.
Mm. So your role is you are over the young adults ministry, and tell me a little bit about where you guys are at right now, the life of that ministry.
Absolutely, man. I have the esteemed honor of pastoring our millennials in our church, which are young adults 18 to 30-something that are a part of our congregation. And I'm also the e-church pastor, which most people don't know is our largest church campus within the Potter's House brand. We have 4 different campuses, this being one of them. This is the largest that we have. So we have thousands upon thousands of people who view us every Sunday, who tune in to watch Bishop Jakes preach the gospel. And so that's an every Sunday thing for me, as far as talking to them at the end of the service, giving recaps, speaking to them through blogs and different things that we write to them throughout the week. We send them content. There's opportunities to become partners with us on a deeper level where you get exclusive content from Bishop Jakes, behind-the-scenes type stuff, him talking directly to you, answering questions. It's really, 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 really neat. And then our young adult space, we meet every first and third Friday. It's called Brick House. And it's just a crazy group of young adults who really are in love with Jesus in every way that you can think of. But our goal is to really equip them equally, both for the world and for spirituality. So we want them to be the type of Christians that are strong, that could stand with a Bible in one hand and the Wall Street Journal in another hand. Mm-hmm. So we really want to prepare them for life, not just to preach the gospel, but actually abroad from the church. So that's really our focus there. We've got hundreds of young adults coming when we do have our young adult services. It is absolutely insane, and God is in it, and there's a deep level of connection that they love about the ministry too.
You had mentioned T.D. Jakes, that he's had a huge role in your life. How has his role in your life affected the way that you view him professionally, in your personal life? I know I've noticed that you have a high level of respect for him. You've got a high level of honor and admiration for him. How deep does that run?
My goodness, Bishop Jakes, I didn't get to know Bishop Jakes in a personal way until I came on staff here 3 years ago. And I'll tell you this, this is one of the things that I tell everybody about Bishop Jakes. He's probably a better person than he is a preacher or a pastor. And that's saying a whole bunch, because I think he's the world's greatest preacher.
Right.
And he's just the kindest, most thoughtful person that you'll ever meet in your life. He really does have a heart for the millennial generation, so we have a pretty close connection personally. So he spends a good amount of time pouring into me, making sure that I'm equipped to pour back into them. So he really takes the relationship seriously, and I honor him for that. I can't even go into detail about how much he pays attention to his staff members and the people that are around him.
That's awesome. Well, you're obviously a very gifted communicator and leader, and you know, I've noticed that you honor quite a bit publicly, and I'm sure it's privately as well.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this whole idea of honor. I think it's a little bit misunderstood when you think about it nationally, and I know those folks listening in from other countries as well, but I think it's misunderstood. So how do you balance between honoring God first, but also honoring their role too? I mean, there's lots of different denominations and cultures listening in. Tell us your heart on where the line is, and why are you so behind honoring the lead pastor so much?
Well, I read a book younger in my life when I was kind of learning the ropes of Christianity by a guy by the name of Watchman Nee called Spiritual Authority. And it's a really radical read on honor, on following the authority figures that God has placed in your life. The Bible says that there's safety found in a multitude of counsel. I have lived my life, and I have gotten to where I am in ministry and as a husband and as a father because of these great men and women of God that he's placed in my life. So because of that, in return, my honor for them is very high. It's definitely something that I don't feel like crosses the line. I think that that God definitely comes first in every situation, but I believe that God uses people to equip you. I believe God uses people to prepare you. I believe God uses people to open doors for you. I believe God uses people to get you to point you in the right direction to where you're going. Some people can take the stairs. Some people get to take the elevator. Because God has placed these wise men of God in my life who have been there and done a lot of the things that I'm doing now, I'm humble enough to be able to receive from them and honor them enough to where they end up pouring back into me. Mm-hmm. See, honor's like a boomerang. When you throw it out, it always comes back to you. So when I honor them, I honor God because I'm honoring the set person that he's placed in authority in my life. And in doing so, I'm honoring the Lord. I'm pleasing the Lord by honoring those people that he's placed in my life as authority figures. And I'll tell you this, for me, I've just never seen that go wrong in my life. I've never seen anything negative come out of my life by honoring those that are in authority over me. It always has produced blessing. It always has produced doors open for me. And I think people in our culture, especially our millennials, it's something that I think that we all should take note of, but especially our millennials, because I really believe that there's a baton being passed from the older generation, the boomers, those that are in that generation. There's a baton that they want to pass to us. There's a baton of wisdom. There's a baton of knowledge. There's a baton of a practical experience that they want to pass on to us. And I believe honor becomes the bridge to bring that wisdom and information across on.
That is so good. What I hear from you is that it's not these two different camps. It's not honoring God over here on the left and honoring the lead pastor over here on the right. You're honoring God by also honoring
That's right.
your leader. And what I also hear there, it's not about a position. It's not about the lead pastor. You would have the same approach, honoring approach, if it was your supervisor or anyone's in authority in any other venue. It isn't just about a lead pastor.
No, not at all. If you talk to anyone who knows me, I'm a very honoring person of those in authority, period. I just believe in it. It's something that I practiced for a very long time, and for a while I thought everybody did this. Mm-hmm. And then once I got out into the world and I started seeing everybody around me, I said, wait a minute, everybody doesn't honor like I honor. But I'll tell you this, though. And I don't say this as a boast at all or anything of that nature. If anybody's watched the track of my life, God has really blessed us. And as far as the works of our hands, when we do ministry, anything that we do, anything that we touch has been very fruitful. And I believe that that fruitfulness comes because of my heart being in a position of honoring those that are in authority over me, honoring those that are around me that are in authority as well. I've never had a real issue with honoring those in authority at all in any place, whether it was a workplace relationship or whether it was at church. I just believe that God really, really smiles on those who honor other people. All authority, the Bible says in Romans, you know, all Romans 13, it talks about all authority has been given by God, you know, and he's the one that set that honor into motion. Yeah. Like our presidents, just like the people, our government officials and things of that nature. We're supposed to honor all of those people. The Bible says honor all men. So that's something that goes across the board. And I think if we start practicing honor more, we'll see God open more doors for us, and then we'll see a more peaceful union between men and the people that they communicate with.
That's so good. Hey, so in a heavy honoring culture, which obviously is very admirable in so many ways, how do you lead up or raise a concern in a heavy honoring culture? I think people might be asking that right now in their mind. Okay, so how does Ontario lead up to his leader in a culture where you're honoring so heavily?
So let me say this to you. Honor doesn't produce fear. Okay, if your honor produces a fear of your leader in an unhealthy way, then that's not honor. You know, that's just the spirit of fear.
That's good.
And intimidation. And you know, you don't want to follow someone because you're intimidated by them. You want to follow someone because you honor them. You honor who they are as an individual. You honor the work that God has allowed them to do, or you honor who they are as a person because they have integrity and they have character. You know, they respect you. They respect other people. So because of that, you know, when you have that type of heart towards the person that you're honoring, they in return, let me tell you this, honor is actually like, it gives you permission to speak. It gives you permission to say more about what you don't like, or what what's wrong, or if there's an issue, or if there's, you know, a red flag somewhere. You have access. Honor always produces access, okay? When you have access, then you can say what you'd like to say, and you don't have to push past all of the doors that you would have to push past, or the fluff that you would have to push up in order to talk to someone who's an authority figure over you. When you honor, it opens the door for access for you to be able to say the things that's on your heart, whether they're good or whether they're bad.
That is so good. And I've heard it said that you build up change and you make a bunch of deposits, make deposits, make deposits, and then you have to make some withdrawals occasionally. But that, what you're saying is that's where it gets you the access.
Yeah, the honor gives you the access to be able to make the deposits and the withdrawals,
yeah.
You see? So it makes it much easier to have tough conversations. You know, I'm thankful for a great pastor like Bishop Jakes, who I don't think he's just, you know, he's an average leader. I think he's above average leader because he wants to hear what the problems are. He wants to hear what we think about this. He wants to hear what my generation feels about this type of conference, or how do you feel when we say it this way, or does it make you feel weird when we wear this kind of stuff? And, you know, I was talking to him the other day about hooping, or how the preachers, you know, how some of the preachers do the you know, so I'm not really into that thing. So we were talking about it, and I was telling him, I just don't understand how is that preaching then? You know, and I was asking him this about that. It was just really, it was a fun conversation, and something that most people would see as, I can't believe you would ask him something like that.
Right.
He hoops himself, you know? No, he's very open to dialogue, especially if your questions and the way you come at them as a leader is honoring.
Yeah, that's a great component. The motive is right, and you can trust the motives of the person asking the question. I love that.
That's right.
Well, I would have loved to have been in that conversation. That would have been fun.
Hey, it was funny. I'll tell you that much.
Well, Ontario being so gifted, you know, you could probably go work at a lot of places and maybe even start something new yourself. I don't want to be naive that that's never crossed your mind or you've never been approached. Talk to us about your heart behind just the loyalty that you have for your current house and your current role that you serve under.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have never Watchman Nee says something in his book in the first chapter of the Spiritual Authority book that's really cool. I have a lot of my leaders read it that serve me, so they understand the mindset that I have about leadership. And it says this: it says any step made outside of delegated authority is an automatic fall. So the way I live my life, the way that I flow, is I'm always open to what God wants to do, and I'm always looking for that twinge in my spirit of what he wants me to do. But I believe in the Bible where it says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, okay? There's also the one that I quoted earlier, which is that there's safety found in a multitude of counsel. Mm-hmm. I will always go and talk to those that are in my life as a spiritual leader about what I feel God leading me to do or what I think God is saying to me, and I will always bounce it off of them. And I really believe in my life, and it's always happened this way for me, and I've always been blessed because of it. My leaders that God has placed over me, thank God that their hearts have always been in the right place and their motives have always been good and pure. They have always been able to confirm what it is that God is saying to them, well, to me, to them, when I come to them and talk to them. And it's always been a dialogue. It's always been a talking back and forth. Oh, well, okay, well, let's talk about how that looks. Let's see how many years does that look like. Well, what type of training would you need to do X, Y, and Z? These are the types of conversations that are had, you know, when it comes to that kind of thing. I feel like God has me in the best seat in the world, okay? I get to watch Michael Jordan play basketball every single Sunday up close, okay? I get to watch Picasso paint every single Sunday, you see? Mm. You know, I get to watch Wayne Gretzky hit slap shots. I mean, it's the greatest opportunity I have, and I'll tell you this, I'm not looking to go anywhere anytime soon at all because I get an opportunity to watch one of the greatest preachers on planet Earth do what he does every single Sunday. And this, I'm telling you, Bishop hits a 10 every Sunday. I don't know how he does it, but I need to learn as much as I can from him because yeah. He's in his prime. He's doing some amazing things. He's a great leader, and I'm just taking notes. And whenever God says whatever he wants me to do, whenever that season may come, I'll be fully equipped by watching the great leaders that God has placed in my life and taking notes.
Well, I think a big learning, you know, that we've just gathered from even just what you just said is the humility in your voice as being somebody who's very gifted yourself. But a lot of times every generation has this problem, but I feel like the older generations hide it better. But as you're leading millennials, if you're just modeling that humility, that is so great that what you're doing for the young adults there at Potter's House.
Yeah.
You know, quick question. Is it possible, as you were kind of given all your answers for honor, I had this question come to my mind. Is it possible to take honor and loyalty too far? How do those that are listening guard themselves against environments where these great traits are possibly abused and misguided?
Well, let me say this. I think honor can never be taken too far. I think in honor, you're honoring and you're pleasing God when you honor. So the reward will always come from God, even if it doesn't come from the person that you're honoring.
Mm, that's good.
So that's number one. Loyalty is produced over time, and that's something that I think is something that you give to someone that you love, that you're respectful of. But I think that the abuse part comes in as far as, you know, the opportunity to be abused. I think when you see signs of things that look abusive, and I'll give some examples, more like, let's say someone's telling you to do something that's ungodly. Someone's telling you to do something that's not civil. Someone's telling you to do something that's not lawful, okay? Situations like that would be means for a red flag for me when it comes to, you know, taking it too far, if you would say. I'm not going to be loyal or to be honoring to something that's going to cause me to break the law or be a bad citizen or push me into sin. you know, that's kind of where the line is drawn. So none of my leaders or anyone that's been in my life that God has allowed to lead me have ever led me in that type of way. And I think the equalizer here, if I'm allowed to say this at all, I think the equalizer here is the Holy Spirit. And I think that every believer has that ability to kind of hear the Holy Spirit on the inside. You kind of know, okay, that's not where I need to go. That's not what I need to do. And the Holy Spirit will always lead us and guide us in all things that are true, which the Bible says. So I think that if it's something unlawful, if it's something ungodly, that's where the line is drawn.
Most people listening in so far have been listening in with their leader, with their actual follower hat on. Most people listening in are probably at some aspect are a follower to some kind of leader that's leading them. But at the same time, they're probably leading a team.
Yes.
So let's kind of flip the script a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking honoring up, honoring up, honoring up. In a culture of honor and loyalty, how important is it that the leader is honoring and is being loyal down?
Ooh, that's a good question, sir. That is a great question. Let me tell you something. People who are usually honorable to those that are above them usually have no problem being honorable to those that are below them. Okay? It just if you have a culture of honor and respect, then it goes both ways, okay? And so I have a great team of leaders who help me lead our young adult ministry. I've got about 15 to 20 great core leaders, okay? It's not good enough for them to just know my favorite Starbucks drink. I need to know their favorite Starbucks drink, too, and have it for them as a surprise next time we have a core meeting. I need to know what their favorite Chipotle order is, take it down, and be ready to hook them up or be a blessing to them.
You just got anointed on me.
Come on now. Yes, I said Chipotle. Yes, let the Lord use me. So being able to say things like that, being able to honor and respect those that are under you is very important. And you model that by just showing it to them, by giving them to them when they don't expect it, by keeping up with their birthdays and their holidays and the holiday times when it's Christmas time and not forgetting about them during their special occasions. I had one guy, he won like RA of the week or something in his college on his dorm. And, you know, it probably wasn't a big deal to a lot of other people, but he posted about it on his social media. I took that post, I put it on my page, and I posted the picture of the certificate and said, congratulations. You know, that's honoring the leaders that are underneath you by making sure that you value what they value, that you see what's important as what they see as important. That's how you honor down, and I definitely model that here at Potter's House and any other leader that serves underneath me. Honor is just a boomerang. It really does go around. When you throw it out, it always comes back, and you can give it up, you can give it down, you can give it a left, you can give it right. It doesn't matter.
I've seen you live this out with your leaders. I've seen it lead out with the people that you're leading, and I've seen T.D. Jakes lead out in honoring you publicly. So, man, it's just very admirable. I wanted to make sure I got you in this virtual room and chatted straight with you about you guys' very admirable culture. And I think a lot of ministries around the country and around the world can really learn a lot from what we've talked about and step up their mutual respect, mutual honor, mutual loyalty, going all different directions there at their church. Well, guys, you know I try to bring in the best of the best on this show, and I've done that again. And he really has blown us away with some great wisdom. And so we really thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
And we hope that things continue to rock and roll out there in Dallas.
Hey, thanks, Chris Brown, for having me.
Well, I really enjoyed that conversation, and I obviously hope that you did too. I'm not sure where your culture is with those great culture traits of loyalty and honor. But my prayer is that this has helped you evaluate whether you maybe need to improve in this area. Maybe there's some things that you need to tweak or some things that you need to modify. And my biggest takeaways, biggest one was knowing why you're honoring. That you're ultimately not honoring them, but you're honoring God by honoring their authority in your life. And that obviously, whether it's a church authority or another kind of authority outside the church. So that was a big takeaway. Another one was, you can't honor too much. I feel like what he said in his ongoing remarks was, if for the right reasons. You can't honor too much if for the right reasons. And another big takeaway for me was that honor and loyalty need to go in all directions, not just up. And that was real powerful for me too. So some great things for you to take maybe to a meeting in your culture or just something for you to evaluate there in your ministry or in your church. Great stuff from Ontario Green. Hey, if you want to further connect with Ontario, here's two different ways you can do that. OntarioGreen.com, and he spells his first name with an E, not an A, Ontario, O-N-T-E-R-I-O. OntarioGreen.com. He's got leadership blogs on there. Also has his own leadership podcast as well. So if you want to learn more from him, you definitely can do that. And also follow him on social media, Ontario Green on Twitter and Instagram. And those of you who have been listening to this podcast for a while, you know this is something that I ask a lot. Maybe it'd be great if we as a community could reach out to him on Twitter or on Instagram and let him know how thankful we are for him to just really just donate his time, just to pour into this community for the sake of the kingdom. He didn't get paid for it. He doesn't. None of my guests get paid for this. They really just want to pour back into the community. So maybe we can all reach out to him and thank him for that. Well, that's all for this episode of the Leadership Momentum Podcast, my friends. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it enough to apply it and to share it with some folks that you think may benefit from the content. All right, look for our next episode mid-month right here on the Leadership Momentum Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you'd like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. To learn more about Momentum, go to stewardshipcentral.org/solutions. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following @ChrisBrownOnAir. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.